All right. We'll begin with prayer and communion class. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. I thank you that you're always with us. And Lord, I thank you that you're God and you,
yes,
and you watch over us. Bless us this day to speak the words that's, in, that's from your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
I had an imagination this week. I said, you know, Lord, I'm glad you're God.
Really?
He thinks of everything. The more I draw near to him, he thinks of everything in perfect balance. And
you know, that's a beautiful promise to him.
Yeah. And I think, you know, how I love to follow him. You learn so much that way. And you learn how life heals. You learn how to heal with it. You grow from glory to glory. And we're going to be talking about healing. He had a lot of insight about communion. And when Mary asked me to study, I'm glad she asked me to study out of this book. There's a lot of good lessons in it. I'm going to start again on page 12. We got about halfway down, but I'll just start under the highlighted part, partaking of the Lord's body brings healing. And it's because Christ, he was bruised for our iniquities. You know, he took on the stripes. By his stripes, we are healed. And he paid the legal price for our healing. And all we have to do is claim and walk in it. His Jesus' name is also Emmanuel. So he's right there with us. It's like he's right there with us, ready to respond to our faith. He's right there with us. Whatever we need, he's right there with us to respond to our faith. And he won't let us down. The world says, no, that can't be true. But he's right there with us to respond to our faith, whatever that faith is, especially healing. And he knew we need it because the world hates him, so the world hates us. Satan hates him, so Satan hates us. Satan's against God, so Satan's against us. We believe for healing in his name, and Satan hates us because of his name.
That's why he hates the United States so much.
Yeah.
He hates God, and this is God's nation.
And he uses every person that loves his system to fight God's system. Even Americans are against Americans that love God.
Mm-hmm.
And they cahoot with other countries to bring in a one world order. That's been happening for a very long time. So we'll need healing. Not just if the enemy make us sick, then our light goes out. We go to heaven and there's nobody to take our place. But if we get healed, we can continue our course.
Well, just like look at Caleb Copeland. He's in his mid-80s nearly.
Mm-hmm.
And God's told, I don't know if it's him or Joyce Meyer, said, I didn't raise you up this long to let you go on and be with me early. You need to, I prepared you for this.
Yeah.
Was it Caleb Copeland?
I was listening to that CD yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That God's good, isn't he?
He did something that I did in the seventh grade. He started confessing that he lived to be 120.
Yes,
now, I wasn't a Christian back then. One day I just thought about how long I wanted to live. And I said, Moses lived to be 120. I said, I'm going to live to be 121. And I've been saying that ever since. And I didn't know nothing about confession.
He says, Gloria, he's going to live to be 120. Gloria's going to be 115 because he wants her to go with him. He's not going to leave her. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah. God is good. He thinks of everything. And
amen.
We are his representative. God has an investment in us. Sometimes the things that he wants us to do, he wants us to finish. That's what the enemy is afraid of. So the enemy tries to stop us along. So we need healing. And I'll go ahead and read this part. It's real good. He said, it is God's nature to heal. Have you wondered why many Christians are sick? He said, I'm not referring to minor ailments like a cough or a cold. I'm referring to the serious life-threatening illnesses. He said, now if people of the world are sick, It should not surprise us. They do not have Jesus Christ as their protection. So it is no wonder that they are sick. But when believers are sick, I want to know why. And I do not want to draw my conclusions from human experience. I want an answer from God's word. And he said, you might be surprised to know that the Bible gives only one reason Christians are weak, sick, and die prematurely. He said, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:29, 30 through 30 said, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Sleep here means death and not bodily rest. He pointed out, Paul said, for this reason, and he did not say for these reasons. He was pointing us to the singular reason Christians become weak and sick and die before that time. He said, for he who eats and drinks unworthily in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. And I was pondering this, you know, Paul did say for this reason, and I considered that, what he said. But anytime you look away from what Christ did, by his stripes we're healed. In a challenge, that's what you got to believe. In pain, that's what you have to believe. When other people die of the same problem, that's what you got to stand on. And you can't waver. Remember that we have to have faith in our heart. Faith in our heart and no doubt in our heart in order for our faith to work. And when Christ is always ready, the Holy Spirit is always ready to help us believe. If we stand, there are fail safes. You may not have ever experienced this challenge before, and it may be big to you in your eyes. But God put fail safes. He said, if you go to the elders and they'll pray for you, they'll pray the prayer of faith, and you will recover. An elder can be a child. Anybody that can believe God, and they, you know, and they, it's kind of like a person who has operated in faith and they come to a point that they mastered it. Anybody can do that. Because the Lord, you know, if you'll just stand and won't budge, God, he'll be right there with you to help you. Anything you need, any assistance, you have elders, which are people. You have angels, which do things. You have the Holy Spirit to help increase your faith. As if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can get the job done. Because if you have that faith as a mustard seed, it can grow. It can, and the Holy Spirit can help you continue until the whole thing is finished.
You know, the mustard seed is the biggest herb there is. It's a tree.
Yeah. It's the biggest herb.
A lot of faith in that mustard seed. Because it becomes the biggest herb there is.
Yeah.
I also know that if you're going to get people to pray with you, you don't need a crowd because there are different levels of faith. Mm-hmm. It's like having horses with different levels of strength, mm-hmm, trying to pull you going to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Still on a donkey.
It's not the same thing.
So be very careful when you are believing for something who you get to pray. You need someone as mature and the same strength of faith as you to get where you're going.
The Lord.
Rita Dufresne said, yeah, she can get further with two or three people than with a whole.
Right.
30 or 40, so she cut her prayer group down to a small number like we
have. When you believe for something, just like the Lord will show you who to get.
Yes. Your class deal is.
Yeah. That happened to me before. something happened, and while Elder Lewis was preaching, the Lord showed me that the devil wanted to kill me. And from the time the Lord showed me that, I felt the presence of death. And we went on the way home that night. I didn't tell anybody in our group at that time. And I just waited. Just like Deborah was saying, I had heard their conversations, and I didn't need them to get in fear. And I wanted them to, you know, I said, this is serious. I'm going to have to handle this God's way. I'm going to live. First, I said, I'm going to live.
Amen.
And I'm not, I said, there's no way he's kidding me. I'm going to live. And I felt the spirit of death all that afternoon. Mm-hmm. On the way home, I was just thinking to myself, I said, I don't have to go through this alone. I saw Mr. Austin praying for me in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And when he prayed for me, I saw a vision of him, and he called me the next day. I worked on his Yugo. He had a Yugo.
Poor guy.
And I came back when I knew he'd be home, and I told him what was wrong with the car. And then I said, Mr. Austin, I want you to pray for me. I saw you in a vision. I said, the devil's trying to kill me. And I want the Lord showed me you praying for me. And he said, well, don't be in fear. I said, I'm not afraid. And he took me in the house, and he prayed for me in his living room. And I saw him pray for me in the Holy Spirit, just like I did in the vision. And then he gave me the tape series, The Authority of the Believer. That's how I ended up with The Authority of the Believer. And that changed everything. And anyway.
So God took what Satan meant for harm, to scare mm-hmm. you, to kill you. And he got you a lot stronger through the authority of the delivering from that man.
Yeah.
And,
you also have to be careful that even if a person is in faith and you've learned that message, if they haven't corrected their tongue and mm-hmm. their lips, mm-hmm. then you got someone that's planting seed and digging it up every day.
Mm-hmm. When I left his front porch, I never sensed the spirit of death again.
Amen.
When I left his house, I was on the front porch. I was walking to my truck. I didn't notice it anymore. And
but it was your obedience to do what God told you to do,
mm-hmm.
and His obedience.
See, when you're fighting something like Satan, he's crafty, you know. I've confessed the word that I'm gonna live. I believe it, but I have life insurance because we're in war, and I got indeed provisions for my children. This is warfare. Ministry is warfare. So we need our help, and we have to learn to use our authority. And and in a war, things happen. But because things can happen, I take countermeasures, insurance. I confess the word, and I believe it, and I stand on it.
Amen.
And so far, I hadn't needed the insurance, but I got it. And I probably won't ever need it.
Mm-hmm.
What if you go off on a tangent, and while you're out there, the enemy attack?
He is
it happens.
Born again, strong mm-hmm. Christian, but he kept trying to convince me to give up my long-term care/life insurance. I said, "Well, stop paying your car insurance, and I'll do it."
Well, all of it this way. You're blessing somebody else and getting insurance money from you, and you won't ever need it because you're going to be.
My mother lived to be, she smoked. She never drank, but she was a hard smoker most of her life. She lived to be 91 years old. My grandmother lived to be 94 years old, so watch out, buddies. Be nice to me.
I'm here for a long haul. We're going to do this.
That's right. You may be at his funeral.
All right.
Hanging out with him, feeding the poor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can have good health until we finish our course and until we're satisfied with life. Jesus paid a high price for us to have.
Pagan did that. He just went downstairs and told his wife he's gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
That basically, that's what he did.
Yeah.
He did.
He said, if I understand it, remember, he was at the breakfast table.
Yeah.
Come downstairs to the breakfast.
And prophesied to all his family, and then he he died.
That's what the old prophets did. Remember, when they would decide to go home.
Yeah.
They'd pull their feet up in their bed, it said, and they would go home. They didn't get sick and die. They decided.
All right, this is page 64. I thank God for that. He said, thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. It is for my healing, my spouse's healing, and my children's healing. Thank you that by your stripes, by the beatings you bore, by the lashes which fell on your back, we are completely healed. I believe and I receive. And he said, thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant cut in your blood. This is legal. Your blood has brought me forgiveness and washed me from every sin. I thank you that your blood has made me righteous. And as I drink, I celebrate and partake of the inheritance of the righteous, which is preservation, healing, wholeness, and prosperity. And he said, thank you, Jesus. I love you because you first loved me. Our healing, well-being, our wholeness, our righteousness, it's not just a light to the world, but it's defiance against Satan's lies to the world. Every time we walk in health, we overcome. Every time we grow, every time we prosper. We're exposing the world, we're exposing to the world that Satan has been lied to. And even the enmity, there's enmity between his seed and Satan's seed. This enmity will be there until they get saved. And as long, anybody that love the world, they have that enmity. And our health, our well-being, our righteousness exposes it to be alive. Any comments or questions?
That word, redemption, it actually means, you know, they would sell people into slavery if they couldn't pay their debts. It means, or held in kidnapped. So it means that Christ went, paid the person that was holding the captive money, paid all the debts that you had, got you out of freedom. So not honoring this means that he'd do all of that. So you're kidnapped, you're held in Mexico, and then you go, okay, but I'm going to go back.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm
going to
go back.
I ain't going back.
I'm not going back.
I got hit by that spirit.
Well, I have a neighbor, she used to say her sister was stuck on stupid.
Oh, man, that's bad. All right. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the treacherous words that you've given us. Help us to go forward in you, doing all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.